Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for another Elon Daily this Friday, April 12th, I believe. And so yesterday, I'm sorry that there wasn't a real Elon Daily, because here's what happened. You're minding your own business when all of a sudden you're testing out some audio equipment. Your wife calls and says, there appears to be some fire trucks outside the house. You walk outside your house and sure enough, there are fire trucks. And somebody has crashed through the fire hydrant right outside your house. There is a veritable plume of water, probably 50 feet high. They've also crashed through a sign in front of your house. They've also crashed through the tree where your mailbox is and just like obliterated everything. And the sign has smashed through your water main. And then what happens, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is that they then turn off this giant hose of water. It's an incredible sight. They turn it off immediately. And then what happens is that there's a backup of pressure. And without knowing it, that backup of pressure has gone into your house because you're the first puppy right there. And it's exploded your bathroom. And water is pouring through the bathroom, onto the hardwood floors, down the hall. Into the other room. And when you discover all this, you say, what the f***? And it's upsetting to you. And so you don't get to Elon Daily. But insurance companies have been called. Giant fans are blowing. This is going to be an ongoing hassle. So you've got to, you know, just be happy that you have a house, that you have insurance, and these things do happen, and move on. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is me moving on with a letter. Yeah, I know, it's exciting. It's exciting. It's our first letter. And the email is elondailypodcast, or one word, elondailypodcast@gmail.com. And this first letter is from Tim McDonald. And Tim asks this question for you about extended parking at the airport. This is actually a big deal. What settings would you suggest be enabled if you're going to park your Model 3 at the airport for about 10 days? I think I could arrive at the airport with about a 70% state of charge and would need about a 30% state of charge to get home. My first thought is to use the power off button. That will help with the vampire drain. But I want to use sentry mode, of course, so that people won't break in. But I know that uses some energy that might accelerate battery drain. But there is pin to drive, valet mode, speed limit mode. Does one override the other? What configuration would you use on your Model 3 if you left it at the airport? And don't say that you would just use Uber. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Tim. It's actually a really good question. And it's part of why I wish or hope that Tesla will go back and think about incorporating solar panels in the car some way. Because like you, Tim, if I go to LAX and I park outside, there's a lot of solar radiation on there and there's some battery drainage that's occurring because there's vampire drainage because it's looking after the battery itself and that kind of thing. And so it'd be really nice, even if it's not, you know, it's not going to be able to run the car for 50 miles in a day, to be able to give it a kilowatt hour or two a day might significantly extend the amount of time that you could leave it outside. The thing that really drains your battery when you've got it parked is if you've got dog mode on, so make sure that's turned off because it'll get to 100 degrees and it'll turn on the air conditioners and that will deplete the battery reasonably quickly. I had some data on that I'm going to present a little later on this show where I took my car out on a hot day and I set it at 80 degrees for hours to see how much energy it would take to keep the temperature at that rate. But I'll tell you more about that later. So that would be a big deal. So dog mode off. And then the other one is, but it's basically an overheat protection thing that you can put on for like if you forget and leave the dogs in there, it won't let the car go over 100. Dog mode, you can sort of set it at a lower rate than that. But it's basically the same thing. So turn both of those off, cabin protection mode and dog mode. And then if you turn on sentry mode, I don't know how much extra drainage that's going to occur. My experience is that it's not a lot, that you might be using up a couple of kilowatt hours of energy per day. So if you arrive with 70%, say you've got the long range version, you've got about a 75 kilowatt hour battery. So you've got about 50 kilowatt hours left in that battery, but you want to have a state of charge of about 30% when you get back. So that's about 20, 25 kilowatt hours that you'll need. So let's say that you need that you have to play with about 25 kilowatt hours of battery and you're gone for 10 days, that's 2.5 kilowatt hours per day that you could sort of sustain. I don't think, you can't quote me on this and I wish I had a real answer for you, I don't think that sentry mode is going to burn more than a couple of kilowatt hours a day, so I think you're fine. But frankly, it also depends on the weather because I don't think you can turn off the other part of the the vampire drainage, which we talked about, which there is electronics and there are things in there that are looking after that battery. If it's getting too hot or if it's getting too cold, it likes to keep it at a reasonable temperature. So a lot of that drainage that you get is the car itself looking after the batteries. So it depends on where you're parking. And the only way you can probably really answer that right now, because I did a quick Google search for you, is to actually like try it out at home. Leave your car in sentry mode for a day or two in approximately the conditions that you're looking at and see what happens. We'll have a lot more experience about this over time as many of us more use our cars in this way and park them in this way. But it is a bit of a problem. Obviously, the best thing you can do is if you can park it at the airport and leave it plugged in. That happens at LAX all the time. I don't know if it's still a problem, but it used to be that all of these people would be flying away. They'd park their car, they'd plug in and go away for 10 days. You could never find anywhere to charge at LAX. But for the people that were parking their car, I totally get it because you've got this vampire drainage. So that's sort of a non-answer to your problem, but it is a problem. I do have a solution, though. Maybe you could take an Uber to the airport. I'm only joking, Tim. But I feel your pain, dude. Let's get some solar panels up in these cars in the future, please, because this is a great case that where it would be really helpful. Alternatively, at like every place that you can park, there would be a plug. And I think that's where we need to go. Just a 120-volt plug here in the United States. It's not going to charge your car up really fast. It's in a Model 3. It does 3 or 4 miles per hour of charging. But it's really about that issue. If I'm going away for a long time, it would be really nice to have the car plugged in and the solar panels out there by the airport, and it's all good. And in the future, I think we're going to have that because people are not going to be able to go for a 2-week vacation if they've just got this anxiety the whole time. It's like, how much is my car discharging while I'm drinking Mai Tais in Hawaii? It's an issue. A person's got to be allowed to enjoy their Mai Tais, for goodness sake. Well, this electric car thing is just not going to work out. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you may have read that Panasonic is pulling back a little bit the reins at the Gigafactory. So a number of reports suggesting that Panasonic is, one, not going to invest in the Chinese Gigafactory, and two, invest less than planned in Gigafactory 1 because of the slowdown in Tesla sales in the first quarter. Now, this obviously makes a lot of sense, but it also makes us very anxious, doesn't it? It makes a lot of sense because if you're not selling as much stuff, you don't want to have the production capacity for that until you know that you need it. Now, I'm a little bit confused, because although the number of cells required from Panasonic for Model 3 was much less in Q1, they still have an extraordinary back orders for the Tesla Powerwall. Now, I know that the chemistry and stuff's a little bit different, and so maybe it's just not a one-for-one. And so what they've said, look, they're going to continue to invest in the Gigafactory, but they think that they can squeeze a lot more out of the lines they've already got than investing in new lines and expansion of the Gigafactory itself. So I'm hoping what this means, while the cars are slowing down right now, and I don't think that'll be a permanent thing, I think that'll speed up again, that they'll be able to fix this backlog of Powerwalls. I got to tell you, my Powerwalls, I love them. They're fantastic. Make more of them. Make them faster. I have a whole bunch of people I know that cannot get them yet because they're just not available. So put some more effort over there would make a lot of sense to me. There's also this suggestion that Tesla's sort of been looking around for other boyfriends and girlfriends and have done a deal with Maxwell that makes a lot of batteries for both industrial and smaller uses, and that maybe that pissed off Panasonic a lot. And for the Chinese Gigafactory, they weren't really considered part of that deal. So maybe Panasonic's just saying, we don't like this. There's also been a report that's saying that Panasonic's not even making much money out of this deal. Their battery operations actually lost about $180 million last year. So it may be as much as of Panasonic saying, we're not sure how good these deals are for us, as it is that there's been a slowdown in Tesla sales. So there's, I think, a lot more to this than meets the eye. It's not just that the sales were down, but there is these other issues. And one wonders at some point if Tesla is going to do this long-term going forward and producing many hundreds of gigawatt hours of batteries a year, whether they won't just start building them themselves. They're certainly going to have the room at the Gigafactory. It's only 30% done. And so I wonder if that starts to come into the equation as well, kind of like Apple did with its chips. It's clearly moving to create its own chips. At some point, it's nice to own the whole thing beginning to end. And I wonder if that's sort of where things might be headed. Buy a little battery company that teaches you how to make batteries and then just make them yourself. But I will be honest, when I hear reports like this, I get a little anxious. Are things worse than we think? Does Panasonic know something that we don't? Is this whole thing going to explode? We need Tesla to survive. We so desperately need him to survive. And so whenever I hear things like this that we're like, maybe they're much more on the edge than I think, I get a tad anxious. And I can't decide if Tesla is going to be a multi-trillion dollar company in 10 years or gone. And I think both of those could be true. And lastly for today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and for this week, in fact, unless something exciting happens over the weekend, the Falcon Heavy took up the Arabsat and the three boosters came back and they landed. What? I got to tell you, I get kind of emotional when I see it. I feel like this is the sort of the spaceship future of my childhood now actually occurring. The Buck Rogers thing is, it's happening. I mean, come on. If you are not inspired by this, if you're not amazed by this, you might be dead inside. Yeah, I know, it's harsh, but I'd said it. Dead inside. And it seems like the satellite deployed and everything went well. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my name is Mel Herbert. This is Elon Daly and I will speak to you oh so very soon, maybe tomorrow, but probably on Monday. And we are recording a Talking Tesla over the weekend, so that's going to come out early next week. You've got to be happy. You've got to be excited. You've just got to be over it out.